Realistically, we're going to do it. Marxistically, we're going to do it as a kingdom, and I'll be king, and all of you will bow down and kiss my toes. That's the world we've been in. They've all done it their own way ever since Babylon, when they built the Tower of Babel. Let's get a city. Let's build it. Let's make it. And we'll reach unto heaven. And we'll get the worship. We'll get the worship. Semiramis jumped all over that and conjured a whole Madonna child worship way back thousands of years before Jesus was ever born. But that's another story. Verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God." You might underline the word "but now." Because what that is that is a change in the whole tenor of the book. He's turning a corner now. He said in chapters 1, he told us about the wrath of God, how God lets people go. He told us in chapter 2 how God really does judge. And in chapter 3, he's told us all about the concept that the Jews did have an advantage, but the advantage was that they got to the point where they knew what sin was, they got worn out, and in verse 20 he says that the law, the knowledge of sin was in their midst. Okay, these are things that they got. But the law of sin, the purpose for the law was to bring sin to their foreknowledge so they could put it right in the forefront of their minds. And verse 21 says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. When Israel sinned in the Old Testament, they lost their blessing. David's great cry in Psalm 51 was, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Believers in the Old Testament would have the Holy Spirit upon them when they were walking in fellowship. And the moment that they sinned, he would move, he would leave. And maybe an evil spirit would come in. Remember Saul? He was prophesying one moment. And then after he offered up his own sacrifice and bypassed Samuel, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord left him, and now an evil spirit came. And the only thing that soothed him was David playing before him on his stringed instrument and singing. What I want you to understand is it's not like that anymore. But now... But now the righteousness of God is manifested, which is by faith, it's without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Old Testament law was all that Moses wrote, and the prophets, of course, were all those prophetic books. The histories and all of the things in the Old Testament were written to prove to us and to witness to us that God's righteousness and God's blessing and God's righteousness must be something imputed. Verse 22, even the righteousness which is by faith. How do we get the righteousness of God? We get it by faith. You can't get the righteousness of God by behaving perfectly. You cannot. This is why some people sit back and they say, "Well, if I believed what you believe, man, I would do whatever I want." And that's what he said. Their damnation is just. Folks, if you don't see yourself in front of the law, condemned, cowering, and under condemnation, and ready to be cast into hell, and knowing that God is the one who gives you the breath and the air and the wherewithal to make that heartbeat just in sync, and the breath, and all he has to do is open his hand and say, I'm taking it away. I'm not going to let the heartbeat right. I'm not going to let you breathe anymore. You're done. If you don't understand that in light of the law, you could be damned at any moment, and that doesn't tremble you, and you want to sit there and do the loop, "Oh, well, I'll do whatever I..." Wait a minute. You're goofy. You've kind of made yourself God. And he says, "No, I gave you the law to show you you're a sinner, and I've given you my son to show you you can be saved." It's as simple as that. And when people get all heady and high-minded and start doing gymnastics, they're just wrestling with the scriptures under their own destruction. Which is exactly what 2 Peter tells us in chapter 3 and verse 16. They wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction. Don't do that. God says we needed to know we had sin, so he gave us the law, and then he showed us through Christ his righteousness. It was witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's the righteousness, verse 22, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. There he is talking about Jews and Gentiles. The only type of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. When Craig was little, he used to call it the Jews and the reptiles. Kind of, sort of right, you know, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is what we have here is God saying, it's by faith. Righteousness of God is by faith. What righteousness? The righteousness God wants to impute to you and me. Verse 22 says, it's by faith upon all, unto all, and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through blood, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. That is a lot of words in two verses. That is a lot of prepositional phrases and modifiers. But let me break it down for you a little bit. First of all, this whole concept of the righteousness of God being manifest, it's first of all manifested by faith. And the word by faith or of faith in the passage is the word dia. It means through faith. You get the manifestation of the righteousness of God in your life through faith in Jesus. And it's in Jesus, folks. It is not in any other name. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ alone saves. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's getting into the good stuff, isn't he? This is it. This is so simple a child can understand it. Have you ever heard somebody say that the essence of genius is demonstrated in simplicity? God can bring it down to its essence. It's faith in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus. It goes on to say in verse 22 that it says that it's through to all and upon all. And then it says in the next verses, it says it is being justified freely. Love that. Verse 24, being justified freely. The word freely is a word that we get the word gift from. It's a gift. You don't get to be righteous because you're so good, because the only people who get to be righteous are the poor in spirit who know they're not good. The person who's well doesn't need a physician, the Bible says, but they that are sick. Have you ever looked in the mirror and realized that you're broken, you're twisted, you've got a bent toward the wrong? You're constantly struggling with the issue of belief? I mean, that's really the core issue. The only reason we don't live better is because we don't believe better. We don't fully believe. We're not convinced sometimes. Some days it's very hard to see through the clouds. Some days you live as if you're ground, earthbound, like got weights on your ankles, and you're walking around wondering, you know? When I was lost, there was an episode, there was actually a very parenthetical time in my spirit where I remember where I was more heaven-minded than I was earth-minded, because God was pressing upon me saying, you need to get saved! I was thinking a lot about heaven and eternity. You know what happens now? Sometimes I have a hard time being more heaven-minded. I'm more earth-minded. Because the world gets hectic and fast and life and things, right? It's funny how that is. You get saved, but don't forget where he put his hand on you and pressed hard. David said, your hand was heavy upon me. You know what he didn't do? He didn't crush you. Isn't that neat? He didn't crush you. He could have. Probably should have. Sometimes. But the fact of the matter, he didn't. The Bible says they were justified freely. It's a gift. And the Bible says in verse 24 that it's by His grace. Now understand grace, folks. The whole idea of grace is getting what you don't deserve. Okay, there's justice. That's getting what you deserve. People who get cast into hell will get what they deserve. You and I may not understand that on this side because we're better than God. Of course, we're smarter than God and we know that that person really isn't all that bad. No. God will let it be known. He'll declare it clearly. That person was rotten to the core. They had turned the likeness of God into the image of man. They said he's not as good as he says he is. He's not as serious as he is. No. They've changed it all, and God will make it known in that day. There won't be any kind of No. Nobody's better than God. God knows right. He judges according to truth always. Okay? So the person who gets cast into hell one day will be cast into hell, and it will be what they deserve, and that is justice. How many years have you been on this earth? And how many sins mount as the years go by? I mean, every day. I mean, a thought the wrong way. Hate, hurt, lust, covetousness, greed, envy, jealousy, strife, disobedient parents, fornication, rottenness. God sees every bit of it. It's all getting in the pack. Justice, okay? Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. That would be mercy. I'm going to let you go. You know what? The Bible says when Jesus was born, the angels said what? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Peace became on earth because now God wasn't slamping down Israel all the time. And every time they began to go idolatry in an overt fashion, He began to give a wide berth to everybody. He says, listen, I've got peace and I'm going to show you my goodwill. My son's going to die for you. This is goodwill toward men. Mercy, I'm going to give you some wide berth. I'm going to give you plenty of time. The Bible talks about it as forbearance. The end of verse 25. Through the forbearance of God. What about, you got justice, you got mercy, not getting what you deserve. And you got grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. What do you get? Justified freely. The Bible says in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace, by what you don't deserve. God's putting it down as a gift, and the Bible says it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means that He paid a price, and He let us go free, like those two doves I talked about. One got his neck wrenched off, and the blood poured in, and we got washed in the blood, and He let us go free. Verse 25, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Again, the blood, the blood, the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, the Bible says. God says it's all about the blood. God demands your blood for your sin, but you can let Jesus take your place. And when you have faith in His blood, you can be freed, and you can be set free, and you can be propitiated for. Verse 25, the word propitiation, that's a big $2 word we don't use today, but the word literally means appeasement. It's God's satisfaction. God is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. That's so cool. He is satisfied to look on Jesus and pardon you. And the Bible says in verse 26 to declare, well, we got to get back to verse 25 because it's a repeat. He says that we are, He set forth Jesus as a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God let Jesus bear our sins in His body on the tree, and God is pleased to show how righteous He is. He is just because He will judge sin. He'll let Jesus take the judgment, but He is just in that He will judge sin. But He's loving in that He gave His Son for you. Okay, so it's all satisfied there. It's manifested at the cross. East meets West. Holiness meets love. And it's all at the cross. And the Bible says to declare in verse 26, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might not only be just, but also the justifier. That's pretty cool. He's not only just in that He reckoned, He dealt judgment for your sin. How would you feel if a judge down in Mansfield Court began to let people off? Just let them go. No big deal. You try to blow somebody up, that's no big deal. You rob somebody, go ahead. Yeah. Somebody has to pay. He's just, and so Jesus paid for our sins. And then He justifies us when we put our faith in His Son. Guys, there are people who are out on the front lines who are being killed in wars in the past and even in our day that it would be completely almost unbearable, unforgivable to see somebody go in there and point a finger and act like it didn't matter. What if it wastes? And there's people out there that are like that. They're skewed and twisted. Something wrong with them. Somebody lays down their son for the safety and sanctity of this country, and then they mock it. Foolishness. How much more that the Son of the Almighty God came and died on the cross, and we act like it doesn't matter. We treat it as a common thing, as, oh, well, it's like Easter Bunny, Santa Claus. No, it's not. He spoke the worlds into existence. He calmed the storm with the word of His mouth. He gave crippled hands, fingers, and gave legs strength to walk and eyes that were blind from birth to see. He walked on the water and He died for our sins and He rose the third day. Amen. That's who He is. And for us to act like that doesn't matter is a fearful thing. Because if it doesn't bother us anymore, we're on the continuum of chapter 1. We're recreating God, and then we're turning around getting immoral, because that's why we recreated Him in the first place. We didn't want Him to tell us to behave ourselves. I got grandkids, and they're at the age now, at least one of them is at the age where they don't want to be told to behave themselves. Kind of reminds me of me. We don't want to be told. Behave yourself. Be pure. Have integrity. Be righteous. Do the right thing. Love your brother. Love God above all else. We don't want to be told that. Verse 27, where's the boasting then? He's talking about the Jews again. Don't be boasting, he says. There is none. The Bible says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, that sounds like, wow, what are we throwing the law over? He says, no. In verse 31, he says, do we then make the law void? He says, no. We establish the law. Why? Because we understand the law is what condemns us and what kind of cripples us and what stumbles us and makes us realize we need God. So we don't take the law and throw it aside and make it null and void. What we do is we take the law and say, this is the nature of God, and it clearly is not my nature. I need Him. Daddy, help me. I knocked the bucket over. I need you. I wanted to do good. You know the word sin means to miss the mark. You might have been trying to be good early on in your life. Got fed up because you couldn't. You ever get worn out? Just give up? You know, they did a little study, and I'll conclude with this illustration, because they did this study of these rats, these laboratory rats. They threw them in a vat of water, and they wanted to see how long they would keep, you know, trying to swim. And they found some of them gave up in the first day, and some of them swam for 3-4 days. When they went back and looked at the data behind their experiment, they looked at the ones that drowned early, and they found something was different about them. And the thing that was different was that the technicians grabbed those rats, and they looked them in the face, because they thought, I got the rubber gloves on, I got control, and they kind of harassed them, and then they threw them in the water, and then they were the ones that drowned early. You know what a lot of people do? They get bad circumstances. They give up early. Got a bad home life, got a dad or a mom that's kind of rough, and they just give up. And what they do is they don't die and drown. What they do is they give up, and they become insensitive, like chapter 1. That's why your sin is blood guiltiness many times, because when you give your sin to your kids, you wear them out, you harass them. The devil's all about harassing. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give up the fight for your soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If he gains the whole world, loses his soul, what profit does it do him? Beloved, today, I don't know if you've given up or if you're feeling like giving up. If you're laying down, I want you to know something. Righteousness, as far as God is concerned, the righteousness of God, it is a gift. You cannot earn it. You must trust Christ for it. And you must understand, if you're going to do that, that you've got a sin problem. And that's what the law was given to you to understand, help you understand. Would you bow with me for a moment?